Thank you, everyone, and welcome to everyone in the gallery this evening to the meeting of Adelaide Ports Council on Tuesday, 12th November. Thank you. I'd like to start with our opening statement, which is our acknowledgement of country. The council acknowledges that we live on the traditional country of the Piramid and Kaurna people. We pay our respects to ancestors of the oldest possible presence and custodians of this ancient and beautiful land. Together, we will care for this place for generations to come. And in this context, the decisions we make should be guided by the principles of nothing we do to decrease our children's to live on this land. Now, we do have an apology and leave of absence, and that's the guilt and apology. And the Councillor Pasquale is on leave of absence until the 18th of November. So, can I get a mover and a seconder to approve that? No, I think I may have been approved. Is there somebody wanting one to go in here so that we have to take one when they get in there?
Well, 52 weeks.
Not sure you're going to have a seconder, I'm sure you'll make that. All right, thank you everyone. We'll go on to item 4 on the agenda, which is our previous items. We need, has anyone got any changes that have been missed? If not, we're looking for a second. It's really expensive. And somebody seconded. Thank you, Councillor Huxter. So we're resolving to receive the minutes. All those in favour? Thank you very much. That's carried unanimously. All right, do we have any declarations of conflicts of interest by members around the table? Okay, so I'll take first of all, you'll just give us the number and whether it's material or general, when we come back to you to make a statement.
Yes, I have three. On item 11.2, I have a general conflict of interest. Yeah. On item 12.3, I have a general conflict of interest. And on 19.3, I have a general conflict of interest.
Anyone else? Recognizing them. I don't have anything else for opening remarks. We don't have any questions adjourned or questions now on the table, so we can go through to slide 8 on our agenda. We don't have any declarations, that's a no. But we do have a public forum, and if there are any of you who would like to speak in the public forum, can you go? I know Mr. Bennett does, but you, did you want to
go? I can go first, and then we'll go first.
All right. Do you want to come up to the table? Switch that button in the middle so that your microphone's on. That's it. Can you please just give us your name and then township so that we can put it in the minutes?
Yes, my name's Scott Rundy. I'm a resident of Allgate in Adelaide Hills.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to present in your last meeting. I'd just like to reinforce a few things about the Stirling Hospital rate rebate, which is for discussion later in the meeting. One of the main things is to highlight that the hospital is a community facility, not just for private patients. It's, as a surgeon working there for the last 20 years, I've got a lot of elderly patients who don't have private health insurance that come to Stirling. They have x-rays, blood tests, they come to see me, they come to see gastroenterologists, they come and have their cataracts done. And so It'd be wrong to think of this hospital as being a private hospital. It's really a community asset, nearing its 100 years. It's an asset which remains in the community with strong community involvement. And I hope when we are considering, or you are considering, the discretionary rebate, that this is something the hospital, in a significant time of stress, like many other hospitals around Australia, and this would certainly make a significant difference for us as clinicians, having access to new equipment and further upgrades to the services that we offer the community in general, not just to a small sector of private insured people.
Are you aware of the recommendation before the commission?
Yes, I am.
It's the rebate is only for 1 year. Are you aware of that?
Yes. I mean, every year for a hospital which has struggled over the last decade, as all health facilities have, every year counts to allow us to generate more goodwill from the community and more goodwill from the clinicians. Ever since the hospital decided several months ago to remain in Stirling and not consider a move to Mount Barker, we've seen a significant uplift in commitment from the community. We've seen surgeons putting more patients through the hospital. We've seen a greater amount of services offered with sleep apnea, obesity services. We have a lot of preventative cancer treatments. We have new urologists who need equipment that allows earlier detection of prostate cancer. And we have a group of several gynecologists who are also looking after women's health across the board, not just for people that are purely privately insured. And those little bits of equipment, that's, you know, even $20,000-$30,000, all of those things make a difference in for each specialty to have the best equipment available and to keep the hospital at the high level which it's currently working at.
Right, thank you. All right, thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
I'll invite Mr.
Bennett to come up, and then either of the other two members of the audience want to come up. That way, both topics get a chance.
I just want to speak to the motion you got on notice 11.1, and I know you're about to get to it next. I just got a couple of points and questions that you may want to include if you are doing a trial. The issue that we've discussed is that in fact it is the best way to target. You're obviously the demographic of people you want to assist. Just blatantly supplying endless supplies of resources at the toilets, because the costs will just go through the roof. Because it won't be managed. So people will just be shopping at the toilet for all their products. So and then how do you manage that? And how do you manage the costs? And like I said, is there a better way of supporting the target audience that you're after? And we don't even know the numbers that we're talking, so that would be helpful to know that as well.
I can't.
No, I know you can't. I'm just trying to throw some ideas out.
What I'm thinking is that the products in the toilet maintain and replace in the way that we want to do.
At our expense.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to help a small minority group of people, is that worth blatantly supplying them with supply products for everybody, or just trying to target that small group of people directly, or find a better way of helping them needs to be?
All right, so what I'm going to do is say, see you and take that into consideration.
Cool, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Because we've been about this a few times where we've had things come into the table, which is on notice, that aren't in the court execution phase. I just want to check that you're aware around this being CEO to investigate.
Yeah, I understand you asked for us as CEO to have a look. Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Okay.
But this is the only time we'll get to have a quick chat on the day. Otherwise, I'll have to wait further down the track to raise anything we have to raise.
Gotcha.
All right. So we'll be with that. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. Is there anyone to come on? Hello, I'm Kathy Miller. I'm the chair of Sternum Hospital. I just wanted to share with you that the hospital has, through the last few years, really had trouble financial position. And it was something, a decision that the board didn't take lightly when it met, or took very strong when it looked at the feasibility of relocating to Mount Barker. It was because we needed to do something to turn the hospital around. But what impressed us was the strength of feeling of the Stirling community and surrounding districts, that the hall, the RSL hall, and under Josh T was totally packed out, and people expressed their true feelings about the hospital and it remaining where it is, and also that they added their support. And I think that strength of feeling really impressed the board. So we are trying everything we can to secure it there. So we're hoping that you and the council will help us to get the support of the doctors and the community that we've already had since those meetings, and particularly Save Australia Hospital Group, that you will look favourably on item 11.2 and recommend. If it is for a year, it will greatly assist the hospitals. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Miller. So I've got Councillor Brown and then Councillor Brown.
Yes, thank you. You said the decrease in mid support, and it's pleasing to hear that. What is your financial year? Is it June, July to June?
July to June, yes.
Yeah. So in the first 5 months, well, the last time you had a report, so at the end of October, have you noticed an increase in income?
Yes, we actually had a positive first month, July, and we're on budget, our revised budget, and the doctors have come to the table with additional customers or patients, and we've been very excited by them. I think that a lot of them had never seen financials before and took great heart in having them shared with them and what we needed from them to bring additional work to the hospital to ensure its ongoing viability.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And just to start, guys, Mount Barker Hospital is $300 million or something going in there. You see that as a threat in 3 or 4 years' time, and people might say, well, this new multi-million-dollar hospital over there.
I think going off topic a little bit then.
Your long term bank.
It tends not to be. A public hospital tends not to be. Their surgical clearance throughput is quite low because they cater for the chronic health conditions. And public health tend to focus more on medical customers.
Yeah,
right.
Thank you.
Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Well, thanks for coming in, Ms. Miller. It gives me the opportunity to ask this question, it may be an oversimplification, because especially what I've read in the papers, but you mentioned earlier about the proposal going to Mount Barker. And I remember reading at the time that one of the motivations was because of the cost, in possibly in the millions, of meeting regulatory standards, but I understand that the hospital passed all those regulatory standards without any problems. Now, which bit have I missed there?
Our theatres and air conditioning, etc., are all covered by the Australian standards, and there have been some changes since that time. We had an inspection by SA Health who brought this to our attention. And that's where we had to have a master plan developed to address those recommendations. Since that time, those standards have not been relaxed, but deferred. And so we have done a number of works that have satisfied SA Health at this time to renew and to maintain our license. But that doesn't mean that in the future we don't have to do those works. So it may come a time when we continually have to meet the standards relating to sterilisation in particular.
Okay, thank you.
Right, thank you. I'm afraid our time for the public forum is up, unless this is a very cool question.
So to follow on from Councillor Hannon's question, when we talk about that increase in, I guess, patronage to the hospital, would you consider, I guess, some of the additional services provided, for example, sleep study opportunities, ophthalmology, and some of those improvements have, I guess, driven that ability to not just be stagnant as what you were, but sort of reinventing yourself as a service provider?
Yes, definitely. The sleep studies have filled beds that would otherwise be empty, and ophthalmology has and ophthalmic surgery has boomed at Stirling. And I think it's good to be able to offer options to people that live locally rather than having to travel downhill.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Miller. So we're now going to move on to item 9, as our time for public forum has been completed. And this is a presentation. We have a presentation planned for tonight. So item 10 on our agenda. I have no questions on notice, but I do have a motion on notice for item 11.1. Now, Councillor Semmel, this is your one. Would you like to talk to the wider and say what you'd like to know?
Yes, I will. Thank you. So this motion addresses the overlooked but very critical issue in our community, and that is purity and poverty. I was really shocked when I found out that more than 1 in 5 women have had to improvise on period products due to cost. And improvising can mean, you know, all sorts of things to different people, but often it's using toilet paper or, you know, rags or something that they can find that's often not hygienic and difficult to keep clean. So this motion does look at 3 steps towards looking at a trial. And the first is to look at ways that we can partner with existing social enterprises. So there are a number of organisations that are not-for-profit, like Taboo and Share the Dignity, and they've been partnering with councils in New South Wales, Queensland and Victoria to deliver programs like this. There's only been one trial, as far as I'm aware, here in South Australia, but it's quite a common practice for councils to do this on the East Coast. Asked the CEO to bring back options for a potential trial to us next year in time for us to consider in line with our budget. I think we don't want to reinvent the wheel here. I think it's really important that we can work with organisations that have already done this and have a track record in delivering these types of programs. And I think, you know, there's been comments made tonight about the financial impact, and that is something we can look at when the trial options come back to us. So I think that that is something we consider in our financial status, how that all impacts together. So I commend the motion, and I'm looking for a second.
You might have one,
but
the last councillor, have you got a question?
No, I would like a second.
Would you like to speak then?
I would, thank you. I'd like to thank Councillor Selwood for bringing up this motion and just draw everyone's attention that women are a minority. We're actually represent more than 50% of the population of Australia, and so this affects all more than 50% of the population. So when 1/5 of 50% of the population are actually struggling to maintain their health and hygiene, something that happens to them once a month on average and affects different women differently depending on their biological makeup, and some of them immense pain, some women bleed profusely. You know, some women are in public and they have to deal with things like loss of bleeding and not having the correct products available to be able to deal with that can affect women in the workplace. You know, women have to go home sometimes because they can't go to meetings. You know, there's lots of things that women keep quiet. They don't talk about this stuff because it's really hard to deal with. So I commend this motion. There are increasingly social enterprises that assist women with these issues, and it's really fantastic. They are Taboo with South Australia.
It is. Yeah. It's exactly. Yeah.
No, sorry. I should. I'm not doing public. Taboo is a South Australian social enterprise which has been going for a few years now. I haven't heard of Share the Dignity, but for us to be able to trial and partnership with people with such great track records to help more than half of us, I think is an excellent thing to explore. And yeah, we're not going to know the financial implications until the business reports back. And obviously, there are systems in place for effective distribution. So I'd be interested in seeing those too. So I can have a motion. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Councillor Clark. And we've got a mover and a second. We've got Trevor Morgan to debate. I'll have Councillor Tudor first. With Councillor Holmes.
Yes, question. And the debate.
Okay, let's get your question first, but then I'll go
to the mover. In the second paragraph in the background, starts with addressing the period of the increasing gender equality. I'm just not understanding that. My understanding of gender equality is not same, but the professional meaning of so could you explain
that? Are you able to just clarify?
Yes, I can absolutely explain that. So women can't fully participate in work or education if they're having to worry about how they're going to manage their periods each month. And so this having easy access to period products, especially for people who've done for them, enables women to fully participate in society, and that brings gender equality.
And I think a lot of that comes from still to the women's sport. Councillor Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Selwood, for bringing this to the table. I was originally just going to speak to some alignment to our organisation, but I think I'll also touch on that quality piece because I think it means something different to everybody. And you know, as a male, it's not a consideration I have to have. It's not something I have to worry about, be concerned about, spend money on, have an awkward conversation about. And that is an absolute privilege that I have. And so for me as a woman, if there's a sense of inequality because of the accessibility of what is a fairly basic need in Western society, I absolutely think that women representing that have the final voice on that. So that's not for me to debate on, but I think absolutely represents equality in my mind. The only other thing I want to really add in, because I think much of it's been said, it's just an additional goal from the strategic plan that's aligned to, which is actively represent our community. This is active representation. This is understanding our community. This is understanding the need that's not being addressed before, from my understanding, in this chamber. It is within the remit of council to consider such things. And it's the reason we're elected and come here and have these conversations, not to just put things through the chamber, business as usual. It's to identify opportunities like this. So I'd thank the Councillor Sowell for bringing to the table and the seconder, and absolutely in support of going down the path of investigation for this mission.
Thank you. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you, Ian. I will be opposing the motion in its current form, if it's quite clear. Just a question for us, but how many public toilets do we have? I think I know the number, but it's 17. I did have that aspect.
Yeah, through your worship, I don't think it's actually been off the top of my head. I've got the number 30 in my mind for some reason.
That's okay.
But it's definitely more than we have.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm not prepared to support in its current form, because if the report comes back and recommends for the public talks it was up between 7 and 30. I just see a major issue managing that. What I could support though is for the trial, the investigation, to cover those buildings, the four buildings, Northern Summit, Stirling, Woodside, and Gumraka, where there are staff people. Now the reason I say I can support that is I understand the education department system, they have three sanitary facilities. But they are managed by a staff member. So if there's an issue, the person can go and see the staff member confidentially and obtain support and have managed properly. There's no suggestion that they go into public toilets because of vandalism aspect. And I would see that if we have between 7 and 30 public toilets, we're just opening ourselves. If the trial comes back and we're going to do it, I would imagine there'd have to be some sort of implementation program with the 17 to 30 in one year, it would be a stage program. But I'd like to see a joke rather than public toilet trial, you go into what I call the service centres, if you call that, which you go to the library, Northern Summit, Woodside Library in Gumraka, where the staff there, they the staff have been trained how to manage the process. And it will be much safer for the person who uses it and all around the council. So I could ask if the moving block to strike out the word public toilets and put service centres in there as the trial. If not,
I think that's a bit more than a variation. I don't know.
I probably won't accept the variation, but I can address those matters in my
Thank you, Mayor. I also can't support this motion. I am a female, I have a daughter, it's all very important. And I mean, no disrespect to anyone at all, but I feel like this is a really nice to have thing, or a need to have thing. And there's plenty of things that we should be doing better that our community expects from us. And I think we need to be really good at what our community expects of us first before we start doing things like this. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Anybody else wish to speak? That's right.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you, Madam Mayor, the motion in its current form, does that commit the council, once the report comes back, the motion in its current form, if that's adopted by council, does that commit the council to undertaking a trial in some fashion? That's my question. The motion in its current form, if the council resolves the way that it is being moved and seconded, and when the report comes back, does that commit the council to undertaking a trial in satisfaction of this resolution if it gets up?
My suggestion would be that we depend on the report. One of the options might be not to either. I'm not a liar, so looking at the administration that are out there.
Of course, through you, Mayor. This is an options report, which will come back to council to deliberate on and make a decision.
So at that point, you could argue that we don't think anything comes back. But I'm thinking that one of the options would be not to do it.
Thank you. I'll speak to the motion, I guess, following on from that a little bit. I'm comfortable supporting this motion. I think it is important that we investigate and look into various ways that we can support our community. Part of the report, I anticipate, probably would address Councillor Hammond's point about service centre toilets, because they are council-managed toilets. It could be that an option is that we limit it to those toilets themselves. Councillor Ossensock asked the question, the administration responded, it might be that we do nothing, it might be that we do more than the council managed toilets. I think it's difficult to make an informed decision when you don't have those options presented in front of you, which also articulate, the financial implications of each of those options. And then we can weigh that up against our other priorities. Councillor Hudson mentioned that we do have other priorities, and that's correct. But as part of those budget processes, we as an elected body determine where it sits and what we might proceed with, if anything. But I have no issue with looking into the options.
All right, so anyone else who wants to speak?
Thank you. Madam Mayor, I'll enter the debate. I will support the motion as written. Personally, as a father of three daughters, I'm very conscious, as fathers and daughters would be, of this issue. And I would not like, I would be uncomfortable with one of my daughters being in a situation where they did not have access to sanitary products. And I think that assisting in a, what is effectively a public health issue, akin to council supplies needle collection devices in its public toilets, which is an appropriate public health service to our community, I would be supportive potentially of, as Councillor Daniel has articulated, specific council controlled facilities that have public toilets, and that the provision of these products could be managed in a controlled way. I think that would be an option worth looking at, but I'm happy to support this resolution and consider the report in due course.
All right, thank you, Councillor Osborne, for not supporting for the last one.
Thank you, really, Mayor. I will support this motion. I think one thing that hasn't really been discussed is the expense of sanitary products. And as mentioned, even some people cannot afford this. But I think that if we just do it as a council, we would be able to do bulk buy and be able to get a much better deal. So for that reason, I do support this motion.
Sorry, something you finished with? Yeah, all right, thank you very much. All right, so I'm going to go back to the move. I think everyone's had it. I've actually been about to move to the arrival of the block.
Yes, thank you, and thank you to everyone who spoke. I will address a couple of comments. Yes, Taboo is a South Australian, started, I don't know if it's still on, but was started here in South Australia, and I believe, but I might be wrong, was actually started within our council area. In response to Councillor Herman's question, there are 30 buildings that Allegheny Council own and maintain. There were some questions that I asked before Mr. Waters took on the directorate, so I have some answers to these. The 13 buildings, of which are within council managed buildings, such as libraries. Currently, we have 100% of our council building toilets have sanitary bins, and we don't worry so much about the vandalism of those, but they're provided for public health reasons, and 95% of our public toilets have a sanitary bin. And currently, none of our public toilets have any vending machines to create product, either for a fee or free. I do think it's not unusual for us to ask for an options report. We do it all the time, trying to find out what our options are. I personally don't know if this is the right direction for us to go, but it's worth us finding out. I hear from people who are struggling to afford general items that normally seem quite everyday products. And so I think it's really important that we do have a look at it. And we can make a fully informed decision when the report comes back to us in May or before May. So I thank those that are supporting the motion and thanks everyone else for speaking.
My two last question.
Yes, because we've just ended the debate. And I think she's got the number, so there's not much point to be asking the question, but you can ask the mover later on the question. Debate is closed, so we don't ask all those who find up things. So the motion's carried. Thank you. Thank you. Question: could any of them know more in fact that have to do with the same as
big question about
that? Okay, so let's move on to item 11.2. At the Gulf, which is the Stirling Hospital. Sorry, no, yes, you've got a.
Yes, I have conflict of interest, I need to declare.
Yeah.
So I have general conflict of interest. I have been looking at the matter of financial support for the Stirling Hospital in my work capacity, so I will be leaving the chamber.
Oh, thank you for that.
Can I ask a question on the council before
she leaves? About the
cycle? Yes. Is there a motion going to fill the legislative council about assistance to community hospitals tomorrow?
I'm not sure.
No, I'm asking.
I think that's confidential, and I think that's something we should ask separately. Or ask What do you think? We have to answer it, but not to, if you have.
Yeah,
well, if you have an answer, I will, because it sounded like it might be confidential. So if you like, if you have an answer.
There is already a motion on the Legislative Council newspaper regarding so.
Right, thank you, Councillor Selwood. Did anybody else was there on the list as well? I'll let Councillor Selwood just take the room. All right, so everyone, item 11.2 on our agenda is Stirling Hospital Board Regulation Rate Rebate has been proposed by Councillor Cheetah. And so I'm going to move to Councillor Cheetah and ask if you'd like to introduce your motion, please.
Thanks. So I'd like to move it as printed on the screen. I'm going to talk to it now.
Yes, we'd like to talk to the moment.
Yeah. So this particular item, I started, I guess, a conversation in the debate when we originally resolved the discretionary rate rebates, and I've really had the opportunity, I guess, to do a deeper dig on this. And, you know, I'd like to thank the Stirling Hospital, as well as Dr. Bundy and his capacity for, I guess, really driving us to have a deeper dive on this. We received a report at a previous meeting, which was quite detailed on the back of a request for a review into this discretionary rebate. The report was really good. It went into some really good details and I think pulled out the reality that the measure of our consideration really should be drawn out of the Local Government Act and the relevant sections. And I guess it to me pointed out why when we lose some of these bulk items as we did for discretion and rebates, it's really important to sometimes pull out the individual and have a really good look. Now, in this motion in the background, highlighted particular parts of the previous report, which I think support that idea of giving Stirling Hospital a discretionary rate rebate. I won't spend time going into those sections. But we've also heard a lot about the Stirling Hospital and what it brings and delivers to this community. And I don't think any of us would deny that the positive impact, the opportunity it gives for inclusivity, staying connected to community in times where health is not in good condition or stressful times. And I think it's really important. We've heard about some of the opportunities from donations from organisations such as the Stirling Op Shop and what that's unlocked for the hospital to be able to deliver to our community. Some of the specific dot points I put in, which I thought were really important when we consider this against some of our strategic goals and the current strategic plan. That in last financial year, 50% of patients were over the age of 65. You know, we are so aware that we have an aging population, and this service is so important for the different offerings of radiology, ophthalmology, sleep studies to be able to have available to our district. As some of you know, I volunteer with the community bus out of the Hub and out of the Positive Aging Centre at Woodside. You know, I get the opportunity to talk to the kinds of people that are going to uptake these services. And the idea of a discretionary rate rebate and the spirit of it was to support, give council the lever to support quite critical, high value organizations and businesses in our community. And, you know, I've started to question what the purpose of having that opportunity in the legislation without us having to fight for it, if we're not going to uptake it for opportunities such as the Stirling Hospital. So I am absolutely in support of my motion and thank those people that have spoken to it, as well as those before us in the community that fought to keep the hospital here for us to even be able to have this conversation.
All right, thank you. Let's see. Do you have a second? Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Do you want to, are you seconding or answering? Especially if you want to speak to that, I did. Right, we have a mover and a seconder. This would be what do people need to be made? So I've got, sorry, Councillor Grant, was your hand up? Councillor Grant and Councillor Hogan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Cheetah, for bringing this item to the chamber. This is a difficult one, particularly because we're likewise an organisation set up for the benefit of the community. The issue being who's in the worst financial position, and we've got an operating deficit of best part of 5 million and a debt of 22.8. And I guess the trouble is, well, where do we shift the shells around here? There's no doubt the hospital is a worthy cause and it's an excellent institution to have in Stirling. It serves untold, but there's no doubt about it. I guess the question comes down to, well, one, what I didn't find in the report to change my mind from the last time it came to the chamber, and but I guess more importantly, are we in the position to add a little bit more to our deficit, and is that doing community good? I know it looks like we're doing good to approve it, but that's money that will come from elsewhere. So I'll be interested to hear the rest of the debate, but at the moment I'd have difficulty supporting the motion. Thank you, Mayor.
All right, thank you, Councillor
Ryan. Yes, thank you, Mayor. I get back to the provision of services general. The provision of health services, as I said, is the responsibility of the state government, not local government. The state government does get from the Commonwealth, but primarily the services delivered by the state government, so they should have a responsibility. I see there's perhaps the thin end of the wedge where the state government won't provide it, and so the council has been asked to chip in, and I think the cause is a good cause. But there's the thin end of the wedge where next year, when there's a problem, that they'll come back again, and it keeps going, and the state will say, well, the council has been supporting Stirling Hospital, let them continue to support it without the state putting them in. I understand very well from other service providers about the increased standards, and one that I'm familiar with has experienced that, and they're in a similar position. They couldn't afford to do it, so they've got a phased-in program, and they're adjusting their expenditure accordingly. Now, I did ask Councillor Sherwood about what the state, you know, the state government, the Greens, introducing tomorrow, and I was hoping to get a bit more information. I don't have that. But it's something to do with the state governments, not local government, the state government helping these community hospitals. Now, the detail of that I don't know. I did check with the Parliament House, although it was on the notice paper. But, I didn't have time to try to find it out the notice paper. So I'd like to know what going on there, and perhaps the administration can follow that through to see what the Greens Party has even do. Still, I want to go through the Parliament, but it means money from the state government. Well, good luck on all of them. Thank you. Burnside Hospital received 100% rebate. It is on council land. I don't get a supply, but they get a 100% rebate. And recently, I think I recall they're doing millions of dollars of expansion. So obviously, they must be making back. And mega back. You know, I do have a conflict. My wife spent time there. But, so they provide good service. But they must be generating sufficient income to be able to take major capital works, although they probably get a lot of that from the Commonwealth government, the state government subsidies. And that's probably the law I need to say. And I endorse what Councillor Grant is saying. We'll have a $4.5 million deficit. We have to address that in one way or another. And even the most of the just part, if that's introduced or proceeded with, implies additional expense. I made a point when I asked the question about this is only for 1 year. And whether the hospital will apply and or be approved for probably financially romantically safe. So I will listen to the debate.
All right, thank you. Is there any more debate? Anybody wishing to speak? Thank you. Councillor Day.
Thank you, Mayor. I, like Councillor Grant and Councillor Emma, I find this one difficult because irrespective of the decision we make, there are benefits and detriments. We can choose to make its rebate. It will have a positive impact to our community in a way because, as articulated, Stirling Hospital is an important asset. But likewise, there are other pressures that exist within our organisation and to try and weigh up. Now, if we're going to spend $25,000 for our community, is this the best way to do it? Other projects, other ideas that are more important. That's a difficult decision. Particularly in our current financial environment, I agree with Councillor Herman that primarily health is a state issue, but within the context of rate rebates, that's a local government decision for something that we need to make. But the one thing I'm grappling with a little bit is the idea of, as well, if we were to proceed with any type of rebate, it's in a way retrospective. So we've endorsed our current budget and we're saying that we're going to implement a rate rebate, which is actually looking back into the past a little bit, which is separate from, I guess, the more holistic decisions around discretionary rebates and budget processes. I do think there are some benefits though, which is why I find this a difficult one to weigh up. Probably didn't help anyone.
Sound like a lawyer.
Well, you did actually, because I've got a question for the mover. Point three says the 24-25 financial year, but now that we know that financial years are June to June, did you intend that to be 25-26?
No, I intended that to be 23-24.
That's all
that I have.
Thank you for clarifying. All right, and is anybody else willing to speak at the end? All right, I'll go back to the mover, please, and then ask if you'd like your reply.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Few bits to address in the debate. I guess absolutely smoothly when we consider these in the round budget processes, it'd be fantastic to include it in there. I think I touched on a little bit, maybe some disappointment in the level of depth and deep dive into each of the applicants for the rebate. I don't think that level of detail was there when we first approved those. We've now done that, and I think some further consideration did come to the surface, and there is a appeal process, which is what we're going through at the moment. Just in Councillor Herman's reference to Burnside Hospital being council owned land, absolutely. We have significant provisions within such as sports grounds that are in services we offer there, but also for those that are community owned land, where we do also offer services to support those sporting clubs. So I don't think just running with the, well, because it's council owned, therefore absolutely they should get 100% rebate. I think if we're going to use the similar thinking and mentality we have for our sports and rec grounds, I don't see why community should be different. Going back to, I guess, the criteria, it's also about health and health estates, consideration for health. The detail in the report highlights more than just health as the benefit of the Stirling Hospital. The subsections which we're talking to, I spoke to in motion, B, F, G, and J. B, I'll read them out to think maybe they've been missed. But whether rebate is desirable for the purpose of assisting or supporting a business in its area. F, yes, is whether land is being used for a hospital or a health centre. G, where the land is being used to provide facilities or services for children or young persons. And J, where the land is being used by an organisation which, in the opinion of council, provides a benefit or service to the local community. Now, in the debate tonight, I've heard a lot of sentiment and reference to the lack of doubt this provides a benefit or service to the local community. And that is from the business sense. You know, there are several employees, quite a number of employees as part of that hostel that contribute to the local economy. It brings people in to spend money who are using the services in the area. There are community groups that use the space. It is more than just health provider. Sorry, the other piece was the procurement. 40% of their suppliers are local. So this is not just about a hospital. This is about a community asset, which under those criteria and subsections are absolutely relevant for a discretionary rebate. And I think the last point I'll make, I guess I didn't really want to use this, but when we made our original decision, some of the debates and arguments about why we wouldn't and budgetary concerns, you know, Scouts SA and the two halls that we provide discretionary rebate don't align with the sentiment of what I've heard in the debate and what I heard previously when we resolved to give those discretionary rebates. And I do find that disappointing of the inconsistencies in that decision-making from this process, talking to the council policy rather than dealing specifically with the local government act and to which organisations, what reasons and in what spirit they should be provided discretionary rebate.
All right, thank you. I'll take that as closing the debate. And so I'm going to now ask people to vote, please. Those in favour of this item. And those against? All right, so I'm going to declare the item a loss. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I don't expect you to stay for the rest of the evening. Sorry, it's not the outcome that you were looking for. Okay, we're all interested in the administration reports, which is decision items from the administration. And the first one is adopting the draft strategic plan. And so I'm looking for somebody to learn something in relation to that. Thank you. And so I'll start with you, Mr. Dalton.
That's pretty bad, man.
I mean, this is, in my opinion, the most important document for us as an organisation. So I think it's worthy of the least a bit of a chat about. In all honesty, I think it's a really holistic document that represents our community priorities and our community interests well. I felt that both us as an elected body had a real input into it and had the opportunity to really help shape it, but in conjunction with both the administration and the community. So I bet we all play a role in putting this document together and making it is what it is. It's funny, when that's the first strategic plan that I've been involved with, and in some ways they don't change that much. Like the key themes of what's important to our community, a lot of them haven't shifted. The character, the natural environment, the importance of us as an organisation, supporting community well-being and providing those community services, which is so important. But I do think we've refined the document quite a lot. This one having the overarching principles, the vision statement, and I'd like to thank everyone involved, in particular the administration and those that have really been driving the process to produce a document that we're endorsing tonight. Hopefully.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Councillor Selwood.
Sorry, nothing.
That's okay. Yeah, I'd like to echo what Councillor Daniel said, but I think it's also really important that the community's feedback was inputted into this document. I spent a bit of time looking through the change log and comparing with the community consultation document, and it's really great to see that a lot of the community feedback has been taken on board. In particular, something that I've been a real advocate for is making sure that we're doing a lot in the youth space. I'm really glad that that came through in the community consultation, but also then again in what we're approving here today.
Well, thank you, everyone. And thank you, Councillor Chair.
Thank you, Worship. Echoing the same sentiments from Councillor Daniel. So probably the only other thing I wanted to add was just, I guess, my appreciation for how this strategic plan, especially comparing to the last one, I think reflects the diversity of this chamber. We have a lot of lived experience in our areas, from the bottom to the top of what is quite a big, diverse council. And I think it's been, the diversity and difference of opinions in a council chamber can absolutely be problematic, but it can also draw us some real positive outcomes. And I think that's reflected in the strategic plan, it's reflected in the sessions that we had. It was reflected in some fantastic, I think, behaviours and safe spaces for people to contribute to it. And I think the administration's done a fantastic job of taking the sometimes ramblings of elected members and formalising into something that does actually align with the conversations we had. And that isn't an easy task. So I do want to thank the administration for their work, their good in on it, but also to the elected body for the way that they've got from the beginning of this process to now.
Thank you. Councillor
Palmer.
Thank you, I actually wasn't going to speak, but I
am following Councillor Chita's statement. So to basically confirm, to also endorse what you said, I agree. I think I've been on council now for a number of years, and I feel really comfortable and positive about the process that we went through this particular strategic plan. It was incredibly broad. Things were investigated in a way that was, I think, open and fair and transparent. And I feel I've actually been away for the last month, so I've missed any of the end bits of it. But the entire process is one I feel really comfortable with. And I'd like to thank you, Greg, and your administration for taking us all on that journey. And I look forward to seeing the outcome. So thank you, and endorse the motion.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Just briefly, I really like the look of the plan, and having read feedback, and certainly there was a wide reach with the various means of which the ratepayers were informed of the strategic plan, and the feedback of it being easy to read and addressing things that are important to people, and even some of the comments of people were unhappy said, not enough emphasis on the environment. And it's like, wow, I don't know how you could do that. But a good diversity of views, and certainly some criticism, and that's good because it means we're hearing from all sectors of the community. But there aren't measurable metrics in there, and I guess that's right for a strategic plan. I do like metrics and things, but it's visionary by nature. And yeah, I think it's really good. I think it's a sort of strategic plan we should be proud of having produced. So I'll certainly support the motion.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, we'll go back to the mover. That's what's done. Nothing to report on. Unless we go straight to the vote, please. Will those in favour to bring it off? Sorry, was it hands up? Yes, you have. Thank you very much. Now, Councillor Flynn, so item on the agenda is 12.2, the service review by annual report. I just have one question, and I just wanted to ask, what's the next one that we do? You know, we said a list of them, but we've mentioned civil service, we've mentioned was there another one that we're already in line? I think it's missing that. Thank you. I'll go to Councillor Darwin. Are you willing to move something?
Yes, I'll move the recommendation of committee. And just briefly speaking to that, this did come before the Audit Committee for examination. And they concurred with the recommendation of this body. But just going through the two service reviews, civil service one was going to speak, if I can use those words, with seven were in progress, three completed, and two not even commenced as at the 30th of June. Now, there were reasons for that, which I won't comment on. But the development service was better where there were 21 of these tasks were completed. Now, having said that, we still have the service-wide review. These looked at individually, compartments of the council. So we have the service-wide review, which the CEO has been complete in late 2024, by this year, and then early 2025. And that will definitely impact on what these service levels can provide. And then the Sunday morning, and then the motion.
All right, thank you. Let's see if you have a second, please. Thank you, Councillor Selwood. Do you want to speak? Anyone willing to debate the item? So I don't think we need to reply there. Right, we go straight to the vote. Those in favour? Thank you, thank you, everyone. Okay, the next item on our agenda is 12.3, the Community Bushfire Reference Group. Now, this is where we're taken. So, now, what did you time on the commission for that?
That's the next one, which part?
That's what we're doing now.
Oh, brilliant. Sorry. Let's go back to that.
So, your 12.3 as well, anyway. So, let Councillor Herman go.
A general conflict of interest. I am a sole member of the CFS, but I think it's fairly far removed, so I'll remain in the chamber and vote on those items.
Thank you, Councillor Sally.
Yes, I have a general conflict of interest. My husband works in the bushfire recovery space, and I will be in the chamber.
Okay,
fine,
all right, thank you. So we're looking for someone who's interested in being part of this group. Can I just ask about the more than one candidate? I'm asking that just to know whether or not we need to return.
I think there's two parts, Your Worship. And the first is simply to set us up and then...
Well, I know the first includes a chairman. I'm just saying, if you could tell me there's more than one, we don't have to do that then.
Yeah, well, I'm interested.
You're interested. Is anyone else? We can just move to 7-1. So all those in favour of the decision one?
Already.
You know there's one person, not going to
yeah.
So you're voting on one, but you're already on one. So we don't need the indicative vote, but you can still speak, potentially. Councillor Ryan, who speaks this man, and we'd ask you to leave on the next one. doing it this way now, and we may have just raised a question that was in front of that. He has a conviction that he's happy with that. But he's allowed to speak. If I think he's still allowed to speak. So why don't we just do one and two? Okay. Do you want to leave while we do one and two and then put back in the topic?
Okay. Should I declare it punctual? I think I just leave.
You can declare it.
Okay, I'll declare a general conflict. Although there's no pecuniary gain or loss riding on this, but because I'm going to be appointed, I'll leave the room.
Well,
or not?
I might not appoint the room. That's such, yeah. I don't like the sign if they don't. All right, so can we get a move for item 1 and 2? Thank you, Councillor Tino, the secretary. Thank you, Councillor Foreman. Look, if anyone needs a debate on this, do they? Okay, right. For those in favour of 1 and 2, thank you. So that's unanimously. Would you like to invite Councillor Herman back in, sorry, Councillor Brown back in, so that they've
here.
She's not nominating you. Question conflicting, pushing out I just moved 1 and 2, but before you do the second decision that Councillor Hunt, that somebody may object, he is allowed to speak when we can adjourn when he does that. If that's the way you want to do it, he is allowed to speak. So how do you talk about management?
Madam Mayor, might not want to speak.
Chris, can you get back up? We haven't endorsed it yet.
No, it's not endorsed because people play a change.
Just that's right, Chris.
Well, that might be ridiculous.
All right.
So,
on your way,
over.
Am I out?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, yeah, he can't give you why they appoint. He can't give you why they appoint for somebody may not make a decision. We just know that we can. So I need a move and a second of 4.3. Thank you, Gina and us to stop. Anyone against? Okay, all in favour?
Thank you.
Unanimously. So Tom, can I ask you to get you out having back in?
Congratulations.
All right, now there are some people who had conference members before the board, I think. Would somebody declare an interest in the interest? Now that Councillor March is interested, so he can see how to do the next step along. So, thank you. Right, so we'll do all the decisions on which is 1, 2, and 3. Movement seconders. Councillor Bailey Moran. Councillor Popkin second then.
Thank you, Mayor. Any nominations? I have got one. Councillor Munch has submitted his nomination.
As
have any others?
Yeah. Deputy and a member.
And I'm happy to bring out his statement for concerning what. So this has been Councillor Munch. I have been a CAP council member for the last 2 years, and prior to that, the deputy member for 4 years of the previous term of council. As deputy, I attended several CAP meetings when the council member was unavailable. Since being elected as the council member, I have attended almost all CAP meetings, including a number where controversial decisions were made, such as Peakfield OTR, the Mona Road Childcare Centre at Mount Lofty Golf Course upgrade. Throughout my time at CAP, I have demonstrated a commitment to investing time and attention to the details of each application and assessment of its against the PMD code. As a professional engineer, I can understand some of the more technical aspects of applications and referral reports. I'm always prepared to invest the time and effort to fully read through all the material presented in the agenda report for each application. This includes reading and or listening to the thoughts of members of the public that take the time to make representations to CAP on applications. I think that this is an important part of CAP's role, as it demonstrates a willingness of the council to listen to its community on major development applications. And it is important in maintaining community confidence in the planning system. I am fully committed to preserving our unique hills environment, biodiversity and heritage, and will always make decisions that align with these values. I think that it is important to preserve our tree-lined streets and support council's efforts to preserve this, as well as preservation of high-quality primary production land and scenic views. I hope that council will continue to place your trust in me as your representative. Thank you, Councillor Munch.
Do you want to do that? Yep, same
thing. Is there any nominations for the deputy?
Councillor Hammond? Only if I'd be a bit reluctant, I've done some kind of good job. I can target one, but I don't have to attempt them in them.
He attended everyone.
Any others? Deputy? That's
So let's go straight to the second two, which is to appoint both Councillor Munch and Councillor Herman as member and deputy. Yeah, that's all right.
Can I move it?
Yeah, you're happy to move, yeah.
Because it could be materials.
Big shot as well.
So, do we have a second? Sorry, it's Councillor Chair. Councillor Carlton, do you want to speak to the item?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, I will briefly. I think Councillor March has been an excellent representation on the CAP, and I'm extremely pleased he's chosen to continue in that role, and thank Councillor Herman for backing him up. I support the motion, and I hope everyone else does.
Thank you, Councillor Sheila. Did you wish to speak?
Same sentiments as Councillor Grant.
Thank you. So, I don't think you're going to want to write. So, all those in favour, please. Right, terrific. Thank you, Tom. Can we ask you before Councillor Herman back in? Thank you. Okay, so just to let you know that they were successful. All right, thank you. So we're going to move on to 12.5 now. I'm looking for someone to move the draft representation review report. So if somebody has got another question, or you've got a question, Luke?
Yeah, my question is to the administration about the map that's in the report and whether that will be a higher quality map when it goes out of consultation. Because when you zoom in, you can't actually see boundaries very well. I'm just wondering if the community consultation has a more better quality map.
Sure. Do that.
Right, thank you. So, is anyone willing to move something? We've got Councillor Cheddar. Do you want to speak to the item?
Just briefly. It really is just a progression of the input we've had in workshops. You know, this has not been something that's been discussed lightly or sort of just going through the motions. And you know, I think it's heading in a good direction. So, support the motion.
Thank you. Somebody willing to second?
Councillor
Herman, do you want to talk?
The names of the wards, north, central, and south, don't give me a lot of enthusiasm. Just ask people to sit around the table when this comes back. We can be a bit creative, but I think, Mayor, your concepts of Valley Ward and Rangers Ward last time really good. I like them both. They've been descriptive. All central and south, I think it's a bit arcane. But we're going out for consultation from.
That was a question. Who were you happy to move it? Or did somebody else move that? Is there anyone?
Just might find to be creative, get the fabric involved.
Okay, so we've got movement and second. Anyone else going to the banks?
Yeah, I just briefly want to talk about the number of the ward, because I think we hear it a lot in our ward. We've talked about it before, but the fact that there's 7 in one ward and 5 in another is seen as quite inequitable by our community, and so I'm really glad that this draft that we're sending out for consultation has equality across the ward in terms of the number of councils. I'll be supporting the motion.
Right, thank you. Everybody else wishing to debate the item? Councillor Cheddar, if you want to modify it, okay, then all those in favour of 12.5 draft review report. Okay, that's down here. Yeah, very nice. Okay, everyone, the next item is 12.6 on the agenda. That's the confidential items review. There are a number of decisions here. Right, the first decision that we're looking at is the receipt and note, the report. That's our confidential items review report. And note that these are held as confidential. So I need a mover and seconder for the first decision. So you're moving, seconding somebody. Thank you, Councillor Brown. Thank you, those streets, all those in favour. Thank you. So the next one is regards the confidentiality until further order. I know there's been some queries on that in the past, but is there somebody wishing to move and speak to decision two?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll move it. But I did have a question to administration. Seek advice that I can announce it now or can I leave it to the confidential section? Well, you know what the question is.
Sometimes it could be asked. It could be answered in the bridge.
All right, well, I'll ask the question. I believe the question I'm asking is why is December 22, 2 years today, Chief of Government Land Notification, remain confidential. That's the question. Now, whether the answer is given here or later, not so possible. And we don't know the piece of land we're talking about.
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said?
Do members know which piece of land we're talking about?
Well, let's ask.
So if I can't get the answer here, I'll have to start. So I think members should know.
All right, so you'll have your way to ask that later.
Well,
unless you want to describe that now without breaking confidentiality.
Through you, Rich, how long describe the actual piece of land that would create some confidentiality our understanding is that there's at least one portion of the land that was the subject of that matter that has not been sold. And there's active dealings with council around it, and it relates to rights of way and whatnot. So there's a portion of a land concerned in the precinct that's been referred to that has not been discovered.
And we're on the best.
I'll be a lawyer, of course.
Yeah, I'll still move. I'll move.
All right, so you move that with that explanation. Is somebody happy to second? Thank you, Councillor Farthing. All right, any Councillor Farthing, do you want to talk to this? Anybody else wanting to debate the item? I don't think you need anything,
no.
Else, so we'll just go to all those in favour. All right, thank you. So let's go to the next one. All right, we go to our third decision. These are previous reports that you've done with regard to earlier meetings. So one's going to go back to 12 December. So that's the first decision. And what we're asking here is to retain them. This is being asked to retain this money in confidence, correct? Okay, so I just have a question. Can the person who's the subject of this also be the person who can be responsible for reloading or not reloading the water? Because it's not just this one, there's a number of them. It's not just in there. You have to find it. I mean, you wouldn't normally rule on your own.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
It's the elected body that's responsible. The elected body is responsible. You're making that choice.
Well, I think the point is that normally we delegate to the CEO, but what you're saying is in this sense, we're not just delegating to the council.
Yes. Well, we're voting on it, so.
All Right, but I think there's a conflict we can keep it down. So let's ask look to move the decision to the other. All right, so decision three then. Then we have the mover. You're looking for moving a second. Thank you, Councillor Daniel. You're willing to move.
And it's pretty.
You want to speak to the item to give a second?
No.
Is there a second, Councillor Grant? You're willing to second?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone wanting to debate? All right, so that neither Ryan any time to. Okay, all those in favour, please. All right, thank you. Carried unanimously. Decision four is similar. So here we're talking about the second item on the 12th of December. First was 9-2, this is 9-3. So we're going to move again. Thank you. That's Mr. Stone. Seconder?
I second that. I was wondering whether the move would include decisions five.
I think that goes against that policy.
Sorry, can you say what it is?
I was going to have to move 4 and 5, decision 5. And that's against our policy.
I believe when our policy prevents us moving things on block.
We have moved some things on block, but they're not going to be like decisions like this.
I'll second decision 4.
Okay, so you want the one that we've got a mover and a seconder? You want to speak to the item? So is anybody wanting to debate the item? So we go straight for a vote, please, and those in favour. Thank you. So we'll go on to decision 5, please. This is going to regard to items on 19th of December, and specifically item 19.4, we're looking for a mover. Councillor Foster Spell and a second day. So, I think the item we wanted to talk about the item. Well, let's see, am I wanting to debate then? Right, so not going to need one of the five, so let's go. All those in favour. Thank you. So, we can now move on to item 13 on the agenda, which is our administration reports information items. Someone's going to report, I don't know who this is, it's Ms. Carlton. Are you going to talk about this item? So I've got the thing on here that says we'll be talking to it. I've got Southern Hills LGA Regional Conduct Health and Wellbeing and Sisters and Icons. So who's the author for them?
Southern Hills.
Wait, well, so sorry, you're saying there isn't a report. Isn't a report all that here other than somebody else's references? Well, sorry, that's what I was asking. So it's not really on the management.
There is a report.
Yeah, I know that's what I'm asking. There isn't it? Because normally they're on here, but they're not here. So I'm just asking. So we got, we need a mover. Thank you. That's awesome stuff. And you're willing to second, I think that's for Chair.
Yeah.
Anybody wanting to speak?
Oh, I do.
So we'll move a second and debate. Thank you.
I just make a comment. The earlier item about assembly products, there was no reference put in the administration of that in the regional health plan. But the point is there that there is a plan. And maximally taken force outside of the plan.
Well, so that should debate. So then, anybody else wanting to add to that? So, move to second. So let's just go to the vote then. All those in favour. I think you're carrying this meeting. Item 14 on the generous correspondence is a letter from the local government minister, Joe Sokash, There is actually another letter. There was correspondence from Penny Wong's office. And this was asking for additional infrastructure projects. I think the deadline's tomorrow. So that's with the administration. But there was another bit of correspondence. Please put a question without noting to me. So we'll just receive a note, 14.1. Do we not put the second item in that's there that I've just noted that's come in? But I sent this through. I sent through to CEO. Okay, do we not know this is correspondence with somebody that's come to us? I'm not asking for that. So no, anyway, all right, we'll put it on the list. Right, we'll just do this correspondence for information. Move Councillor Parkin. Somebody wanting to second? Thank you, Councillor Huxley. Either of you wanting to speak to the other? Okay, so all those in favour, please, receive it in a minute. Thank you. It's currently unanimous. Does anyone have item 15, a question without notice? Still there?
Yeah, well, come on. Well, I'll have a question on the CEO is probably going to report or something, but I'm just wondering if I could ask Councillor Selwood a question.
Yeah, question for the
question. What is the motion on notice from your leader in the council tomorrow? Is that above this bill? Can you read out what it is? Or was it premature?
So are you asking this so you can then make a copy of the emotion about it?
This is getting beyond inappropriate. Yeah. This is the crossover, the two separate areas.
Yeah.
Well, it deals with the item we dealt with earlier.
Well, then we can, that can be done offline.
Yeah, right. I don't have a question unless the CEO doesn't cover certain things.
Oh, okay. All right, so nobody's got a question without notice of items. All right, so now we move on to item 16, which is motions without notice. Anyone wanting to offer a motion? All right, so we go on to item 17, which is reports. Are there any other reports that are under this? Anyone got any questions? Or wanting to highlight anything?
Can you say that to me?
Yeah.
It'd be very busy.
Yeah, they don't think that these are perhaps three lots, remember? Well, we still have 3 weeks or whatever. But there's been a lot of items today.
Thank you.
It's one thing I would say about yesterday, which was Remembrance Day, even still. It was because it was a work day, what the RSL had done is they had got six different schools actually to come along and to participate, but also not just to lay wreaths, they actually gave an oration as well, which I thought was pretty impressive. So, what did you want to do? You want to report that with your part?
Oh, I just wanted to note that my list there is from the last meeting and I had sent through a different list for this meeting. I just wanted to get the this month's on the book, if possible, with that.
Am I able to do that? Yeah. All right, so that was something new and it was very well attended and it was very good to see six different schools participating.
I was going to report it the next meeting, but the Governor Agra RSL also then remembered those services, including Memorial Arch and the school. Now they were silent at 11 o'clock, the whole school went silent. We had team leaders from the high school and from the school participating by laying reeds and reading the over for me.
We not through the council Parker.
Yeah, thank you, Sue. I went to Upstead, on the way there, I had to stop at the crossing while the kids from the Upstead Primary School crossed over the crossing on their way down to the Upstead Hall. And I got there a bit early, so I helped put the jam and the cream on the scones, which is kind of fun.
Where is it?
Got it back. I didn't eat that many. And it was lovely. Yeah, there was an address, and the kids from the Upstead Primary School sang a beautiful version of Waltzing Matilda, which was just gorgeous. So it was lovely. It was a beautiful, very simple ceremony.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? All right, so anything for 17.2? Anyone want to add in there? All right, otherwise I'll go to the CEO, and then we have to go.
Sure, thank you for including me in there. I'll just provide some responses to Councillor Hammond, in particular around Junction and Palhanna, and also the footpath that might be served in the room. We're meeting with state government, mainly John Williams and his team next week. With his team to just get a definitive answer on both of this. So I'm hoping by a fortnight's time we will have a clear answer on both of those items.
I'll re-ask questions.
Yeah, of course, I'll welcome that. And then the other issue around the Pibulans, the progress you were after a bit of an update around the grants. The state government has allocated $1,000 each for council owned sites and building facilities, and we've got 41 sites. So that's that one. And I think I've covered most of those off. And the other one that I just wanted to talk to elected members on is I've turned my mind a fair bit, as you can appreciate.
Yeah, I can't hear the CEO.
Is to just really talk about the social psycho matters that have come before this council, and in particular some of the improvement notices. Just to let you know that the team are working diligently on improving our policies. Some of these policies date back 10 years ago and one 20 years ago. And therefore, we are updating those policies, and we are working with Safebook SA on improving those. To the point of as you'd appreciate, we've been doing a lot of work in this space as an organisation, but we're also looking at implementing a training program for some 77 staff that will train them on psychological risk management across the organisation, which they will act as champions across the organisation as well. So I'll just give you that brief update on the psychosocial space. Yeah.
So anyone have any questions? The CEO, Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Just on that final point, CEO. So those improvement notices were in relation to policies of council, which were they become aware of, they could have picked them up at any time in the last number of years, I expect. But they're related to existing policies that we've had for some time, not particular incidents or...
Correct.
No, okay.
So they correct. Called for just give us a suite of our policies in relation to psychosocial safety. And we gave them our policies, our current policies, and they issued improvement notices on our policy and procedures, which was not surprising. We expected them.
Anybody else got a question for Sam? I got one question, and that was referring to earlier, which is, have we made a response to, or will we make a response to the request for additional topics? Can you do that?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, I'm asking the CEO also.
Yeah, just to appreciate,
sorry, you passed on.
Oh, no, there's a gun that dance, but yes, the team are working out some infrastructure projects to the officer. that Penny in the office in Penny Wong's office. They've called projects. The projects are no surprises to the council. They're the usual suspects that we have deliberated on over the past budget processes, and we're putting those forward. So that once we've done that, we'll say issue out a memo to the members, just reminding the members of those infrastructure projects, and they are now obtaining some grant funding.
Question?
Sure.
Question, under what program is that money coming in?
Or federal election?
Federal election.
And is it, what's the limb on? And is it match funding or is it free? No limit on the dollar value of it?
Well, it's not principles. No, we just have to call for key infrastructure projects in the outback field.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Can we roll up a bit? So we'll get our reports for this. Thank you very much. Okay, we've got nothing to report from the council assessment audit committee. Oh, yes, there is something to do with this. So we need to move a second note. You'll have an
amendment. I'll move the adoption of the minutes. Just pointing out the recommendations in the minutes have been adopted by the chemistry class meeting. It's a matter of time.
All right, we need a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Cameron. You want to support the item?
No.
Oh, thank you. In that case, we'll just go take a vote. All those in favour? Okay. So those votes have been done. So CEO performance review panel have not met. So they don't have anything. They haven't changed any of their item. So we're now going on to confidential items. So does anyone, was there anyone at the right in front of me? Okay. Right, so does the officer in charge of this report wish to add or highlight anything?
Do we have
a
short break?
We'll just keep going. There are nine. Okay, so let's move to the confidence. Were you willing to do that, Councillor Brown?
Yes.
Thank you. On a seconder. Thank you, Daniel. All those in favour? Thank you, Kathy. I'm spending time with you.